fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Talking fantasy football, reacting to the NFL Combine and the franchise tags. Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 6th. I'm Adam Azer. He's Dave Richard. Hey, Dave.
That's me. That's what my mommy named me.
Yeah. Dave, did you go by Dave or David growing up?
Depends on who was talking to me. My parents still call me David.
So that's what your mommy named
me. And my wife when she's really mad at me.
David?
Oh, yeah.
David Richard Richard. Did you know Dave's middle name is also Richard? All right. Anyway, we're going to talk about Saquon Barkley, the talk of the combine, and where our fantasy listeners want Barkley to go. Of any of the first four picks, the Browns, Giants, Colts, and Broncos, and when they would take Saquon Barkley. We'll react to that. I think teammate combos are just super neat, so I have some teammate combos that I'm going to throw at Dave. And we've got a lot of news and notes about Kirk Cousins, Deion Lewis, Chris Ivory is a Bill, franchise tag stuff. Now, I will say, I don't know when you're going to hear this, but we're recording this at about 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. So there's going to be some news probably before the deadline of 4 o'clock, right, to sign the franchise tender?
Yeah, there should be all sorts of information that football fans would like to know.
But I think we know, you know, the most important stuff, like the Allen Robinson, the Sammy Watkins stuff. And then we'll do some off-season intriguing players if we have time for the AFC West. But let's start with the NFL draft talk, and it's really about Penn State running back Saquon Barkley, who is just a great player. I mean, he can run, he can catch, and I guess he's the best running back prospect in a long time. I don't know. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley. I don't know how people would rank it, but I think he's going to go earlier than they went and Fournette went. It's crazy.
I think he is too. And he didn't necessarily need the combine to earn these accolades. If you watched him play, and you can still go even on YouTube and find clips of him, you will be impressed with him. Not only can he run and he can catch at him, he can block. He seems to be a fairly intelligent guy, seems to have good football intelligence, has good size, and then he goes out in the combine, runs a 40 and 4.4, 29 reps on the bench, 41-inch vertical. I did a video on CBS Sports HQ this morning with host Tommy Tran, and he compared some of his measurables to guys that are already in the league. And by the time he was done, he looked at Saquon Barkley and he goes, "This guy is one of the Avengers," because he's just not human. And I think that's a hell of a nickname for Saquon Barkley, is to call him the Avenger, because he just really seems to have like qualities of the fastest wide receivers, the bigger linebackers. He's as big as them. He's an amazing package as a running back. And now it's got Cleveland thinking about taking him at number one overall, because he seems to be, I'll use this term that's floating around, generational.
Yeah.
The once in a lifetime type of player.
And the Browns can afford to do that because they have the fourth pick as well. So if they are, you know, feeling a quarterback, they could potentially wait till four. But we, you know, we'll see. It's very intriguing at the top, and it's fun with skill position players, you know, and offensive players. A lot of them going to go early, a lot of quarterbacks for sure. But the quarterbacks, Barkley, Bradley Chubb, these are guys that are definitely,
that's the group.
And Quentin Nelson, I think, has a chance too, the guard out of Notre Dame, to go within the first four or five picks. Well, I asked our listeners on Twitter, I said, if Cleveland, two questions. First, if Cleveland drafts Saquon Barkley, which round would you draft him in a 12-team league? And then I asked, which of these teams would be the best spot for Saquon Barkley's fantasy value? Giants, Browns, Colts, Broncos. So first, if Cleveland drafts Saquon Barkley, which round would you draft him in? I think the correct grammar is, in which round would you draft him? But I didn't do that. 12-team league, round one, round two, round three, or round four or later. So what do you think?
I would put him as a top 15 player. Might put him right at 15th overall. So that would be early round two.
And that was the winner. Round one had 25%. Round two had 44%. Round three had 22%. And round four or later had just 9%.
People were thinking round three or round four? That means that you're not interested in getting Saquon Barkley on your team.
Well,
which is fine.
Very few people said round four or later. Only 9%. But yeah, 22% said round three or later. And I gotta tell you, it's a pretty bad team if he goes to the Browns. It's a pretty bad team. It would real like how much better is he than Joe Mixon or Christian McCaffrey? He's better, but is he so much better? And those guys didn't warrant second round picks. Those guys didn't even warrant like fourth round picks. I mean, they did at the time. I'm just saying when you look at what they actually did in their rookie seasons, is he really going to be better than that?
He could be.
He should be. I think he will. But I think
he can get more touchdowns than those guys had last year.
Oh yeah, I'm making the case for the people who are hesitant on Barkley, and it's probably more about being hesitant on the Browns.
That's exactly what it is, because last year at this time we thought, oh, Isaiah Crowell has a chance to be something good, and we ramped that up, and we thought he'd have a good year. And no, Isaiah Crowell is not as talented as Saquon Barkley. They are not even in the same ballpark. But the fact that he disappointed after a year where he was pretty good will make people say, oh, it's the Browns. They're always going to be bad. Maybe there's some other factors that you have to think about, such as we still think this is a good offensive line. We know they're going to be better quarterback than they were last year. It's probably going to be with a rookie because I don't think they're going to get Kirk Cousins or make a play for Case Keenum or any of these other quarterbacks that are out there. And the thing that gets me is that Saquon Barkley would be in the hands of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, and those guys do have good track records with running backs. So I would not hesitate early round two on Barkley. And the worry that I would have isn't that he's going to be bad in the preseason and he falls into being a late round two pick. It would be that he flashes during the preseason and there's too much hype around him. And now you've got to pay a first round price tag to get him, which if you're picking him at 15th overall, that means you're just using a pick six picks sooner to get him. Mm-hmm. And you'll still be able to get a very good wide receiver or a pretty good running back in round two. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe some people will start doing that if he doesn't totally suck in July and August.
So, Dave, Calvin Ridley, wide receiver from Alabama, has a chance to be a top 10 pick as well. A couple of our mock drafts that I'm looking at right now have him going eighth to the Bears. Calvin, we know wide receivers probably like a little safer long-term, longer shelf life than a running back, but is there any question that Saquon Barkley should be the number one pick in every dynasty draft?
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely that.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure if Calvin Ridley's the number one receiver.
Who do you like?
In Dynasty Drafts. I haven't looked at them all yet, but I've started digging in, and I like what I've seen from Courtland Sutton from SMU.
Okay.
And I've watched Ridley, too, and Ridley does a lot of really good things, and he does a lot of things
that really good.
Make me a little nervous.
Yeah.
Is he a slot receiver? Is he a really, really good slot receiver?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you.
I don't think he is a really, really good number one outside receiver.
He's listed as 6'1". So, you know, I don't think he's limited to the slot by any means. But really, I mean, Ridley's a playmaker. He is fat. Do you know what his 40 time was?
I'll tell you what it is right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Our next question on Saquon Barkley was, which of these teams would be the best spot for Saquon Barkley's fantasy value? I don't understand how the Colts didn't have 100% of the vote. It's so clearly the Colts.
It is the Colts.
But they only had 33%. Giants.
It's the Colts assuming Andrew Luck is back.
Yes, of course. But Giants, 24%. Browns, 17%. Colts, 33%. Broncos, 26%. So the Giants and Broncos are right around 25%. The Colts were 33%. And the Browns were last 17%, which is interesting that people, that's the last destination of the top four teams. That our fantasy owners want to see Saquon Barkley end up on.
It's just the cognitive bias of being in with the Browns.
Like if Andrew Luck's healthy and Saquon Barkley's on the Colts, I mean,
yummy!
I swear to you, he might be like a top five pick. I don't think he'll go ahead
of.
I
don't know about top five.
I don't think he'll go ahead of the top six, which are four running backs and those two receivers. But he's in play at seven.
You would absolutely feel more comfortable taking him in round one, and then hanging the U-turn and getting a best available player in round two versus taking the best available player in round one and then hoping Barkley makes it back to you in round two.
Off the top of my
head, if he goes to Indianapolis, he'd be a first-round pick.
Off the top of my head, just thinking right now, Kareem Hunt would be like very much in play at number seven for me. And I'm the low guy on David Johnson, but I assume he's going to be a top four pick.
Yeah, they'll both go before Barkley.
Yeah, should they? Would you take Kareem Hunt or Barkley?
Hunt.
Yeah. What was interesting, something that Pat Shurmur said was like, he really wants a running back that catches the ball. You know, I don't think he wants a Latavius Murray. He wants running backs who are involved in the passing game. So if he ends up with the Giants, who have the number two pick, I 100% guarantee they are going to spend money on offensive line. And they'll probably draft one in the second round if they take Barkley in the first round. You know, it's an interesting situation. It's a potentially good passing game. I think I would rather Barkley go to the Giants than the Broncos. Like, definitely behind the Colts. But I think number two on that list for me would be the Giants.
I think so, too. And then the Broncos would be a close third, but I can't see John Elway taking a running back before a quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't see it happening.
What do you got on Calvin Ridley's 40?
4.43.
That's good.
NFL.com.
That's pretty good for a wide receiver.
Oh, listen, there's no denying his speed. He's just not quite as big as you'd like your prototypical number one outside receiver to be.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think he's that great of a blocker, but he is very fast, very quick, very elusive, and a very good route runner. I would imagine he'll end up being a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. But as far as fantasy goes, I don't see him being somebody that people are going to go for round 5, round 6, round 7, maybe not even round 8. I think he's going to be a round 9 type guy.
Now, have we had 2 straight years of bad fantasy production from our first round NFL draft wide receivers? Last year was really disappointing.
Well, one guy went in the first round who arguably, well, I guess John Ross was going to go in the first round no matter what, but I didn't think he'd go as high as he went.
Right, 10th or 9th, wherever the Bengals picked.
It was pretty ridiculous.
So last year, you know, Corey Davis didn't really do it for us, but in 2016, who were the first-round wide receivers? Corey Coleman, Will Fuller, Josh Doctson, Laquon Treadwell. It's 2 years in a row. And 4 years ago, we had the greatest wide receiver draft ever. We had Beckham. We had Mike Evans. But it's 2 years in a row now of pretty bad production from the first-round receivers. 2015, receivers were Amari Cooper, Kevin White, Devontae Parker, Nelson Agholor, Rashad Perryman, Philip Dorsett. Dave, it's really 3 years in a row of fantasy busts, first-round wide receivers.
Sure. And so this year might not be any different, and it's certainly a cautionary tale for everybody who goes into their fantasy drafts thinking, ooh, ah, Calvin Ridley. You can't do it. I don't think you should spend a valuable pick on him unless a team comes out of nowhere to trade up for him that's got the court. Look at the Patriots do something wild. You know, they take that pick that they got for Garoppolo and they pair it with their first round pick and they move up enough to get Ridley. Not that they would do that, but if they did that, or if Green Bay did that, or, you know, insert team with stud quarterback, Seattle.
Yeah.
You don't think he'd be a lot of fun to watch in Seattle?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that's the type of situation. If he ends up in Chicago, okay, he's got Mitchell Trubisky, but he's also going to be the number one guy. They don't really have, unless they go and, you know, splurge on Allen Robinson as a free agent as well. And if that happens, then we're taking targets away from Calvin Ridley. So I don't see him making a huge impact right away unless it's just really the perfect fit.
So, Dave, guess where I'm going on Thursday?
Guess where you're going on Thursday. Yeah. I would imagine you're going to the ACC basketball.
You got tournament. It. And guess how I'm getting there.
You're probably going to, what's the cheapest way to get from where you live to Madison Square Garden? You're probably going to hitch a ride on the back of like a.
Hey, Dave, come on. It's not a Madison Square Garden.
Where is it?
Barclays.
Oh, it's the Barclays Center?
Come on, yeah. I'm getting there.
ACC's not big enough for the garden, I guess.
I'm getting there through SeatGeek, my friend.
Oh, that's what you meant.
That is what I meant.
How else would you? You asked the question, how am I getting there? You didn't ask, how am I getting in?
I know.
Now, if you had asked that, I would have told you, of course, SeatGeek, because there's no other way to do it.
I truthfully don't know if I'm taking car or mass transit, but more importantly, I am going to use SeatGeek to get to the ACC tournament to watch the Miami Hurricanes lose to North Carolina on Thursday night. Why am I doing it? I don't know, but you should be using the SeatGeek app. It is the best way to get tickets. It is the smartest and the fastest and the most cost-efficient way to get tickets. And we've got a promo code for you. It's FFT. So you download the SeatGeek app, you use the promo code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I've already used the promo code FFT. It doesn't matter. I still save a lot of money on SeatGeek. First of all, it's just very convenient. You buy tickets on the app, you use the app to get into the stadium, you never have to do anything else. It's very simple. But also, this is a site and an app that searches multiple ticket sites, finds the best deals, tells you these are the best values. What's the point of you going out and looking on all these different sources? Let SeatGeek do the work for you. It saves you time and it saves you money. So download the SeatGeek app for sports, for concerts, for comedy, for theater. Every purchase is fully guaranteed. And use that promo code FFT to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's FFT for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, let's do some teammate combos, Dave.
Combo me, baby.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry. I find myself using the Eagles a lot, by the way, in these. Keenan Allen or Hunter Henry.
Those guys are Chargers.
Or Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Allen and Henry or Jeffrey and Ertz. And it was pretty close if you just look at last year's fantasy points. Pretty close. Pretty close. What would you do?
I'd take the Eagles guys. I think there's more value there on draft day. I think Jeffrey is a round three, round four player. And I think Ertz is a round three player. Keenan Allen could end up being a first round pick, late first in PPR. And he'll be a second round pick in standard leagues. But Hunter Henry's going to fall a little bit in drafts. So I think just the better value is with the two Eagles guys.
Another strong finish for Hunter Henry. 76 yards and a touchdown at Dallas in week 12, 81 yards the next week, 50 yards and a touchdown the following week. Then he didn't do much against the Chiefs and he missed the final two games. We know the
right,
potential.
It's great that he can do that, that he can score and he can get yardage, which, I mean, it's the simplest thing in the world to say. That's what people who catch passes are supposed to do, but a lot of tight ends can only really catch touchdowns.
Yeah.
They're not good for a lot of yardage. Hunter Henry can do that, but so can Zach Ertz.
Oh, of course.
Ertz can get you double digits in fantasy points on yardage alone. Henry, it's going to be harder for him to do that. So Ertz has the edge there, and it more than makes up for the difference between Keenan Allen and Alshon.
Okay. Let me see what the people on Twitter said. I thought this was pretty tough. I was kind of leaning. I'll tell you what. I would probably definitely in standard scoring take the Eagles guys, Jeffrey and Ertz. But there was like almost a 50-catch difference between Allen and Alshon this past year. 45 more catches for Keenan Allen. I don't think that happens again, but it might be 25 to 30 catches. So maybe in PPR, I don't know. Let's see what the people said. They said 53% to 47% they want the Eagles combo. All right. Pretty close. All right, next one, Dave. Niners combo and a Chiefs combo. Jimmy Garoppolo and Carlos Hyde, assuming he's on the Niners. Or
even if he's not.
No, it's a teammate combo.
But what if Carlos Hyde ends up going somewhere in free agency?
Then you can't have him. They're not teammates anymore. Your combo is busted.
Then I've got to go and get whoever the running back is for San Francisco?
Yes. But let's just say it's Hyde. Garoppolo and Hyde or Mahomes and Hunt? Garoppolo and Hyde or Mahomes and Hunt? This one even closer than the Eagles-Chargers one.
I'll take the Chiefs combo just for Hunt, to get that stud number one running back. I can always find a decent quarterback, and Mahomes could be that quarterback. I'm not ready to rule him out. He's going to get picked in every single draft with a late round choice, and it makes perfect sense because he's got just gobs of potential, great pass catchers to throw to. Garoppolo doesn't quite have the pass catchers yet, but he does certainly look like a great quarterback. But he wasn't amazing for fantasy purposes, and Hyde, I feel like I think it's going to be hard for him to have another good year like he had. Did he have a good year last year?
Not really.
I guess we can say that he kind of did.
I think he was a top 12 back, but he was 3.9 yards per carry. I think that there's more there for Hyde. I think he could actually be better. Look, he actually had 6 more catches than Kareem Hunt, but Hunt scored 69 more fantasy points in standard, 63 more in PPR. Hunt averaged 4.9 yards per carry. Hyde averaged 3.9 yards per carry. But I would just like to see Hyde and Garoppolo. Hyde on a better offense, put it that way. Their offensive line is an issue.
Do you think Hyde's going to go somewhere where he'll be a featured back like he's been?
You know, he was more or less a featured back with Garoppolo. And
I think that's the only spot for him.
I'm looking at the five games he played with Garoppolo. You know, he probably averaged about 17 carries a game. Here were his fantasy point totals in standard. 6, 13, 3, 12, and 19. But he didn't really tear it up. He just scored 5 touchdowns and didn't have that much involvement in the passing game. He caught about 2 balls per game. So it's interesting. I mean, it's a tough one. The people said they'd rather have Mahomes and Hunt 52% over Garoppolo and Hyde, 52-48%.
Right. It's basically 50-50. So it seems like it was a tough call for some people.
See, that's a guy, Carlos Hyde, that better offensive line. I think he could be sort of, I think the talent of Carlos Hyde could be unleashed. What do you think?
I think it's possible, sure, with a better offensive line. But you said to yourself, 3.9 yards per carry. Some of that's got to fall on him.
Yeah.
And is he really going to land somewhere where he's going to catch not 60 passes, 59 passes? That's what he had last season. Can he do that again? I'd love to see him stay in San Francisco. If he does, he's still going to share carries with somebody else. And then if he moves on, let's say that he's the consolation prize. Yeah, let's just say Indianapolis knows they have no chance of getting Saquon Barkley, and he ends up in Indy. Maybe you'll like that a little bit better. But there's still a chance that you draft Saquon Barkley and you put him on your team, you can basically knock off every other running back on your roster. They're going to be there for depth and maybe 10 snaps a game.
Mm-hmm.
With Hyde, you're not going to do that. With Hyde, you're still going to give, for example, Indianapolis, you know you're going to see some of Marlon Mack. You know it.
Yeah.
If he goes to New York, you know you're going to see some of Wayne Gallman, whoever else is there.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you could still get 15 carries a game, and you know that's enough to be a really good fantasy player, especially if you catch some balls. All right, so we're done. Chiefs win.
He's got a
Chiefs
chance.
Win.
He finishes the number 11 running back in standard leagues last year. I think he has a chance to get back there this year, but he's not going to be somebody that people are excited to draft.
I also think it's a different question if I take Garoppolo and Hyde versus Mahomes and Hunt and I say you can't pick up another quarterback rest of season.
That's, you didn't ask that.
I know, I didn't. But what if I did? Would that change your answer? Because part of it is like, it's a quarterback. If Mahomes sucks, I'll just pick someone else up.
Because then I'm losing out on having Hunt. Because
No. You can keep Hunt and just like you
can't
drop.
But I can't pick
Mahomes.
Up another running back, right?
Definitely.
Like if you're going to tell me I can't pick up another quarterback, but I can go willy nilly on running backs.
I think I explained it wrong.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Willy nilly. All right, Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson, the Packers wide receivers, or the Vikings wide receivers, Thielen and Diggs. Adams and Nelson or Thielen and Diggs.
We assuming that Thielen and Diggs will catch passes from Kirk Cousins? Are we getting to that point now? Did you see the report?
Yeah.
Earlier Tuesday that Minnesota is going to offer him a 3-year, $91 million guaranteed contract?
If he doesn't go to Minnesota, I'll eat 3 Bean Boozled.
Which means you'll just like put them in your mouth, you'll chew them for like 2 seconds, and then you'll be like my kids and you'll spit it out on the floor and wait for somebody else to clean it up.
Pretty much, but he's going to the Vikings, I think, so... Thielen and Diggs or Adams and Nelson? This was not that close. 2/3 of the vote to the Vikings guys.
And I think that a lot of bias from 2017 is baked in there because they saw Jordy Nelson stink, but he stunk without Aaron Rodgers, and we know Aaron Rodgers will be back. I think Davante Adams has turned the corner and has become not only a good NFL wide receiver and a very good fantasy receiver, but the best wide receiver in Green Bay. However, when it comes to fantasy football, you want wide receivers that you know you can count on week after week. Not to say that Stephon Diggs is the king of consistency or Thielen for that matter, but between the two of them, at least one of them should get you good numbers each week. And with Kirk Cousins there, I think there's a chance both of them can get you good numbers each week.
So you're taking the Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings, but what was the disparity in percentage?
67% to 33%.
It's too deep, too wide a gap.
Because Adams is the best one.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have the two Vikings than Adams and Jordy as of now.
I think but I would too.
Would you be really shocked if Jordy Nelson ended up turning back the clock and having a 800-yard, 7-touchdown season?
That's what I was saying. Like I don't think he turns back the clock and has 1,200 yards, but the touchdowns, yeah, he could have
Yeah,
he can
have
a lot of touchdowns.
That's where his value is going to have to be.
I also think Kirk Cousins is a little overrated. Like, he's been good in fantasy, but correct me if I'm wrong. Like, has he ever produced a great fantasy wide receiver?
No, he's produced a great fantasy tight end.
He has. And he produces he produces great wide receivers in spurts. You know, DeSean Jackson had a really strong ending to his 2016 season, I believe. Pierre Garçon was the man for once. At one point, Jamison Crowder had a good stretch, but Terrell Pryor has stunk over a season. Kirk Cousins has never had an elite receiver, or really even close to it.
No, but I think these are going to be the two best receivers he's ever worked with.
I don't know about that. I mean, DeSean Jackson's pretty good.
DeSean and Garçon are a better duo than this duo. Why don't you put that combo up on the Twitter machine?
All right, I will. I don't know that they're better, but that's DeSean Jackson 2 years ago.
And I believe Cousins led DeSean and Garçon to over 1,000 yards each a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's probably
true. Maybe not necessarily dominant for
that
fantasy.
That is true.
But I believe they had over 1,000 yards each.
They had
lacked in the touchdown department.
Combined seven touchdowns. But you're right. They did have over 1,000 yards each. I mean,
I think Cousins can make up a lot of those touchdowns.
That's kind of an interesting comparison here. Like, Kyle Rudolph, Diggs, and Thielen. Jordan Reed, DeSean, Garçon. But then there's also Jamison Crowder, who had 847 yards and led the team with seven touchdowns in 2016. I think what I'm trying to say is that he spread the ball around. Yeah. Look at these targets in 2016. Garçon, 116.
Mm-hmm.
DeSean Jackson, 120. Crowder, 97. Jordan Reed, 87.
How many games did Reed play?
I was in the process. He played 12.
So he would have been over 100 if he had played.
So are we stumbling on something here that Kirk Cousins is not a lock-in on one receiver, pepper him with targets kind of guy?
No, he's not.
That's interesting.
But Case Keenum wasn't either last year. He went through
and those guys,
ebbs and flows with those two wide receivers and Kyle Rudolph.
Exactly, ebbs and flows. I don't want ebbs and flows. I want stud. I want a stud.
So then you're gravitating toward the Packers now, if we're going back to the original combo question.
I think with the case of Jordy, okay, like in the context of a full roster where I have a bench and I can, you know, play matchups, I probably would go with the Packers guys because, like, Adams will be in my lineup every day and Jordy, I can play matchups, you know, start him when it's a good matchup, whatnot. But if those are just my only two wide receivers, I had to start them every week, I think the Vikings guys will combine for more fantasy points than the Packers guys.
Well, we agree that it's like 800 yards, seven touchdowns for Jordy.
Oh, that's the hope, yeah.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
What are we hoping for Devontae Adams, over 1,000 yards?
1,200. And I mean,
1,200?
Why not?
I don't know if he's getting 1,200.
Why not? Why not have a breakout number one?
I think he'll be in between 1,000 and 1,200.
All right, 1,100, and why not 10 touchdowns?
Well, if Jordy's taking seven...
We're talking about the best quarterback in football. He's going to throw 35 touchdowns.
So you want to give him 10 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that the Vikings combo can combine for 17 touchdowns with Kirk Cousins?
Actually, no.
Neither do I. I'm starting to turn your way.
All right. But you know,
but it's funny because it comes down to Jordy.
Yeah, it does.
Because I think if we tell anybody that Devontae Adams' projection is 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, I think we're at the point where most people say, okay, I guess I can buy into that. That sounds about right. But then you'd say Jordy Nelson, 800 yards and seven touchdowns, and they'll go, ugh.
Yeah, I don't think they'll buy that.
Do you think that'll be the case? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll buy that.
There's also a chance Jordy isn't there, that they could cut him.
I don't want them to because I just want to see what he has left. But, Dave, let's move on.
If they cut him, then he doesn't have anything left.
Let's go to the news and notes. Let's go to the news and notes.
There's a lot of news and notes.
Yeah, I cut it short. I didn't go, you know, first of all, I don't know when people are going to hear this, so some of it could be outdated, but. There are four teams that are reportedly interested in Deion Lewis. The Jets, the Raiders, the Texans, and the Colts. Jets, Raiders, Texans, Colts interested in Deion Lewis. What kind of a running back do you think he is outside of New England?
I think if any of those teams are smart to use him in a similar way to what he was in New England, they'll be fine. 12, 13 carries a game, 4 to 6 catches per game. He's kind of in that Carlos Hyde spin where you want to have another running back to pair with him, but he can still be your featured guy. You absolutely have to have another running back who you feel good about using in a bigger role behind Lewis because he's got some injury history to him.
Okay.
I'd like to see him with the Jets or the Colts. I think those would be really good fits. I think Oakland would be a good fit if Marshawn's not there. Houston, does that mean that Lamar Miller is out the door?
It would, I would assume.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell says that the Steelers will franchise tag him for a second straight season. Whatever. Buffalo and Chris Ivory, they'll have time to work out a deal. We'll talk about it, I'm sure. Buffalo and Chris Ivory agreed to a 2-year, $5.5 million deal.
What's up with the Bills? They keep getting these big physical running backs. Mike Tolbert last year. Mm-hmm. And now they've got Chris Ivory locked up. I don't know. I guess they like that type of player. That's just what they're looking for. It might be what their coach is looking for.
Would you handcuff
late season banger?
Would you handcuff?
I think he'll end up being the handcuff for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. Would you draft Ivory though? Is it even worth it if you own McCoy?
I think you have to at this point because McCoy has so much tread taken off his tire. Mm-hmm. Well over 2,000 career carries. He is unfortunately ripe for a breakdown. And so if you're going to spend that second round pick on Shady, Ivory should be on your late round wish list. But I can't imagine a lot of people will consider taking Ivory if they don't have McCoy.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. So he should be a pretty easy handcuff to nab.
Trey Burton, Eagles tight end, is
going to be a starter somewhere other than Philadelphia.
Expected to leave the Eagles. That's according to Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, because Philly's not going to pay him what he'll be able to fetch on the open market.
Right.
It's just a matter of where he goes and what type of role he lands.
Yeah. So who would you be more excited about? Trey Burton or Adam Shaheen, who I know you like?
Where if Burton goes to Chicago, I think the Bears would make it clear that Burton's going to be there.
Not
main tight end, if you're talking about which.
Give me a destination for him.
New Orleans.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You'd have to go Burton there. Oh, my gosh. If he goes to New Orleans.
It's
going to
be very dependent on the team.
Yeah.
And what team ends up taking him? What if he goes to Green Bay? Green Bay's in a whole new world now where they might start spending on free agency now that Ted Thompson isn't in charge.
I'm not really feeling Adam Shaheen. I feel like his upside is like the number 10 tight end that just, you know. Puts
up touchdown dependent.
Right, yeah. Like his year three upside when Mitchell Trubisky could really break out, maybe it's different, but next year I don't know that I want to draft Shaheen. But if Burton goes to the Saints, like I feel like he could be a top five tight end.
Yeah, I think that would be a good landing spot for him.
And
I think
way behind
the
big three.
Could be interested in a new tight end.
Be interested.
They can go and use Burton, and I'm sure they'd appreciate his versatility. Miami has been on the hunt for a tight end for a couple of years now.
No thanks.
How about Cincinnati? They've got to replace Tyler Eifert, and I don't know if Tyler Croft is going to be back in the mix.
Be interesting.
That would be interesting. I could see Cincinnati adding another pass catcher for Dalton, whether it's at tight end or receiver.
In two games without Zach Ertz, Trey Burton had 2 catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown against Denver, and 5 catches, 71 yards, and 2 touchdowns at the Rams. So a combined 7.
Good defenses, too.
Yeah, 7 for 112 and 3 on 10 targets. That's pretty damn good. Next note, sir. The Eagles are listening to offers for Nick Foles. And then 2 big ones. The Rams are unlikely to franchise Sammy Watkins, and the Jaguars are unlikely to franchise Allen Robinson. And by the time you listen to this, you'll already know if it happened. But we're assuming no franchise tag for Sammy Watkins, no franchise tag for Allen Robinson. That doesn't mean they won't be back, but what is your take on that, Dave?
It means that they are probably going to get overpaid on new teams and not their current teams. And my hunch is that Jacksonville's probably going to make a play to keep Marquise Lee, who at this time last year we were calling more efficient than Allen Robinson. And we can't really compare them last year because Allen Robinson got hurt. And he's coming off the ACL, and Jacksonville probably doesn't believe, A, that he's worth $15.9 million, that's what the franchise tag is, and B, that he won't get that much on a per-year basis out there in free agency. Maybe they have a deal with Robinson where he can go look around and then, you know, Jacksonville will match any offer he gets, and they just don't want to use the tag to lock into that. Watkins is the exact same thing. There's no way the Rams are going to sink $16 million into him for 1 year. I think they'd love to have him back. It's just got to be at the right price. And the Rams, they have to be cognizant of what their cap situation looks like for the next several years, because they eventually are going to have to owe money to Goff and Gurley. And they can't have a lot of money tied up in, you know, a hobbling Sammy Watkins 3 years from now.
Who are you more interested in as a free agent, Robinson or Watkins?
Oh, I want to see where Allen Robinson goes.
Yeah, but forget that. Forget that. I mean, which receiver do you like better?
Robinson.
Robinson? Okay.
Yeah, but it's not by a lot, because I don't think Robinson is as good as the numbers suggested he was 3 seasons ago. And I don't think Watkins is as good as the numbers suggested this year or a couple of years back in Buffalo when he had that amazing second half.
I wouldn't say this year. He didn't really have good numbers this year.
No, but he had some good weeks. It's just a matter of knowing when to start him, which is kind of the pain in the butt with him.
Remember a couple weeks ago, I called him my favorite breakout, Sammy Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on him being on the Rams. But I said, like, I don't care. Just put him somewhere, but give him a training camp. You know, give him OTAs. You can't trade a guy.
The reasons not to take him last year was because he got traded in the middle of training camp.
Right. You can't do
to
that.
To a tougher division. Teams that could take a look at him, Chicago we mentioned. I think Baltimore is looking to redo their entire receiving core. Arizona on the outside, they've got very little. On the inside, you know they've got Larry Fitz. The Colts have T.Y. Hilton, Chester Rogers, and that's it. Now imagine an offense with T.Y. Hilton and Sammy Watkins and Andrew Luck under center.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That would be very vertical.
Seems like a luxury pick, though. Like when they took Philip Dorsett, I was like, dude, you have so many more needs. Why would you do that?
That's true, but this time around it's free agency, and I believe they've got the third most cap space of anybody in the NFL right now.
All right, so
that is correct.
What do
they
you
have $72 million to spend.
Give it all to Watkins. What do you think about
I want to see one of those guys end up in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I think
be
I'd
nice.
Be very excited if either one went to the 49ers.
How about Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp? Do either of them benefit more from this? And by the way, you know, I didn't really agree with Jamie calling Cooper Kupp a breakout, but this changes things. This definitely does.
They still need a receiver who can take the top off. They just figure that they don't have to pay one of them as much as what Sammy's going to get. Or unless they do. You know, maybe Sammy ends up agreeing to a deal where he's making $11 million a year with the Rams. In which case, good for them. He'll be back there, and you know what to expect. But if he's not there, I'd like to know who that third receiver would be. Because I don't think the roles will change for Kupp or Woods. Like, I don't think this takes Cooper Kupp out of the slot. I think he's just perfect there, and they should stick with him there.
Okay. That's your news and notes. Now, if you want more news and notes, you better be watching CBS Sports HQ. Dave mentioned it earlier. Dave was on CBS Sports HQ. You can see him on your TV. So it's pretty awesome. You download CBS Sports HQ I have it on my Roku. You can do it on Apple TV, your phone, any other connected device. You know how it works, people. And this is your brand new 24/7 streaming sports information channel. It's always on. It is completely free. It is CBS Sports HQ. It is what we grew up watching. Highlights. Smart analysis, not just people yelling at each other. It's not a talk show. It's real sports coverage. It's awesome. Great combine coverage and analysis. Love the highlights I've been seeing on there and learning a lot about college basketball, about hockey, things like that. You'll get some fantasy stuff on there. It's awesome. I'm really proud of what they've done. I really am. I had absolutely nothing to do with HQ, but all the people in Fort Lauderdale have done an amazing job, and they've put together an awesome network. So CBS Sports HQ, you can check it out, cbssportshq.com. But I recommend downloading it I have it on Roku, like I said, on any connected device, and you will really love it, and it's free.
And just in case, this is just going back to the news, and they're talking about this right now. This is where I'm seeing it, is on CBS Sports HQ, because we have it on in the office, of course. The Rams placed the franchise tag on LaMarcus Joyner. It will not go to Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins will be a free agent next week.
Okay. So, Dave, I don't think we did off-season intrigue for the NFC South. I think we stopped on the AFC South. You are not so sure. You think we did the NFC South.
I thought we did, yeah.
I mean, we may have. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the four NFC South teams, off-season intriguing players, and we're going to do them all in 30 seconds or less.
Okay.
Cool?
Let's see how fast we can run the train into the wall on this one.
Okay. Choo-choo! Here come the Atlanta Falcons. Give me your intriguing player on the Falcons.
They're going 28.3 miles an hour. Matt Ryan's going to be real interesting. We did a fantasy draft where he wasn't even taken. Obviously, he's throwing to Julio Jones. If they add somebody else to that mix, he's got potential. We've seen him play great before, and he's almost one of those players where when you expect big things, he lets you down. When you expect nothing, he over-delivers. I don't know if this is going to be an over-deliver type year for him, especially when you can find so many other quarterbacks.
You're out of time.
That you'll like better.
I agree. Matt Ryan is the most intriguing player on the Falcons. He could be really great. 20 touchdowns was way too low. 38 touchdowns the year before was way too high. Should be right in the middle. Could be top 12 quarterback. All right. How about the Saints? Off-season intrigue.
I'm not sure. I guess Mark Ingram would be that guy.
Yes, Mark Ingram's my guy too. Good job. Go ahead. You want me to go?
Yeah, sure. Tell me why Mark Ingram is your guy.
Okay, because in his first four games after the Adrian Peterson trade, Mark Ingram averaged 20 carries per game. In his last seven games after the Adrian Peterson trade, he averaged only 12 carries per game. In the postseason, Alvin Kamara had two more carries than Mark Ingram. I think they are phasing him out. Mark Ingram is very interesting. I think he could be a bust.
Could they trade him and just make Alvin Kamara and another running back somewhere along the line their new 1-2 combo?
Maybe. That would be pretty intriguing.
I don't think a team would give up much in trade for Mark Ingram, but I do think teams that are looking for running backs and can't get Saquon Barkley would prefer Ingram over Carlos Hyde.
All right. How about the next team here? It would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who's your offseason intriguing player?
I am intrigued by Chris Godwin, who I think is going to end up getting a bigger role this year opposite Mike Evans as that number two receiver for them. I think they like him. I think they're going to give him a chance to replace DeSean Jackson.
I think, honestly, every single player, every skill position player on this offense is so interesting, and they're all connected to Jameis Winston. He needs to be better, and I mentioned in our last podcast I love O.J. Howard.
Yeah, I know you like him. I think this is a team that looks at Darius Geis in the second round of the draft.
Okay. How about Carolina? Who's the intriguing offseason player for Carolina?
I think Devin Funchess could be that guy. Really interested to see what that receiving core looks like with Norv Turner there. Norv says he's not going to change much with the offense, but I have a hard time believing that. Old habits die hard, and he's been dying hard in the NFL for a long time. He needs a downfield receiver. I don't think Funchess is it, so what happens to him then? Does he become a possession receiver in a red zone monster for Cam Newton? And if that's the case, what are his numbers realistically going to be? Can he even touch what he did last
year? I mean, like,
year?
You really think this is 30 seconds? Is this what 30 seconds feels like to you?
I'm just talking until you interrupt me.
All right. Well, I'm interrupting you now.
Go ahead.
My guy was Cam Newton, playing with the injured shoulder, didn't have a healthy training camp. I think it affected him, and I think he's better than what we saw. And the fact that he's had six or more rushing touchdowns every single year, it just five or more every single year. It's a baseline for Cam Newton. It just helps him so much. And he set a career high in rushing yards last year, too. All right, Dave, let's read some emails to finish the show. A little light today. I do apologize. Have a personal thing this afternoon. So,
are you getting a mole removed?
I am not getting a mole removed. Fantasy football.
I'm just trying to figure out do you have to go to the dentist?
No, I'm not.
Accountant?
No. You should stop asking. Because when I tell you, you're going to feel bad. So. Fantasy football.
Well, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Well, wait a minute. If there's something going on.
We had a death in the family, Dave. Yesterday we had the funeral. Today we have a memorial service. So.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't know.
That's all right. All right.
Should
big mouth.
Not talk about it on the air?
No, you know what? It's fine.
Do you want to say something about this person?
Everybody should have an uncle like my Uncle Sam. I know. Not that Uncle Sam, but he was an amazing guy. We'll call him Sammy. And I miss him. He was an awesome guy. So, gone too soon. Great
I'm really
guy.
Sorry, bud.
Thanks, Dave.
I'd love to hear about him sometime. I really would.
Funny. One of the funniest guys. I know where I get my funniness from. He's my dad's brother. Awesome guy. All right. So send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And here we go. Tony, where's he from?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Tony says, "Dear Quincy, Chad, and Drew, I need some help with a dynasty trade. I'm trying to acquire Pat Mahomes by only giving up draft picks. Our rookie drafts are 4 rounds of 12 picks each. The best I've offered is 2018 second rounder, 22nd overall, and a 2019 third rounder for Mahomes. I'm definitely a Mahomey. I want this guy on my team. Do you think I've offered? Do you think I've offered as much as I reasonably can?
You haven't offered enough
for Mahomes.
No, you're trying to buy high on a guy who is among the most potential laden quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And whoever has Mahomes, this would be like, I wish Heath was here. Like, can I go get Heath and pop this on him and pop this offer on him to see what he'd say?
He's doing a,
I don't care.
Auction.
I will drag his.
I can IM him. You want me to IM him?
Bearded. Yes. Okay. He would laugh at this.
It's not enough. It's
not even close. It's got to involve a first round pick.
In a dynasty,
I know that
draft.
Sounds crazy.
Dynasty draft.
But right. This is the person that took Mahomes.
The
obviously
rookie draft.
Took him last year. I don't think he took Mahomes thinking, oh, well, I'll put him on my team and see what he does. People who took Mahomes in dynasty leagues last year were excited about him. You're offering him a second and a third, and one of the picks isn't for a year?
Yeah, like a third round pick in a dynasty draft is, I'm sure it's often a pretty bad pick. Like, you know, it's not a very valued pick. I am Teeth, but he's not at his computer so much, or we're gonna get him.
I will find him, and I will ask him about this offer, and he will probably just laugh.
This is from Graham in Newport, Rhode Island. I'm having this moment, Dave. I was just gonna say this on the air. I'm very concerned that I already read these emails on our last show. So
I don't think you did. I would call you out on it.
All right, if I did, please understand. I've had a very long, very upsetting week, so now you all know. I'm a little out of sorts. So if I read them, I apologize, but we'll read them again. Dear Lloyd, Ace, Fletcher, Stanley, and Truman.
Those are all Jim Carrey characters.
Yeah, I feel like I would have remembered that greeting. I need to make a move for a number two wide receiver in my 12-team half PPR dynasty league. I have Hopkins as number one, but Dez, Crowder, Didi, Sterling Shepard, Rishard Matthews as number two. So he needs a number two wide receiver. Which of his running backs would you try to trade? Derrick Henry, Carlos Hyde, Kenyon Drake, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Jerick McKinnon, or DeMarco Murray. Also, I have an extra second round pick in the upcoming rookie draft that I could use, and the third pick of the rookie draft is my first pick. So he's not going to get Barkley, but he could get, you know, another, like the number two running back.
He could definitely get a wide receiver there.
Right. He needs a receiver.
And it'll probably end up being Ridley or a running back at that spot.
So which running back do you think would have the trade value that would make sense for him? Derrick Henry, you know, I don't know if you want to give him up. Carlos
Hyde.
Not
unless you're getting a really good wide receiver, but then if you give away Derrick Henry, then your running back depth is going to be not so good.
Carlos Hyde, Kenyon Drake, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Jerick McKinnon, DeMarco Murray.
You're not going to get bupkis for Murray right now. I doubt you'll get much for McKinnon, Jones, or Mack at this point. And I don't think you're going to get what you would think is fair value for Carlos Hyde.
I think we're at the same guy.
Unless you trade for a wide receiver that doesn't have a lot of excitement and maybe is a free agent. What if you offered Carlos Hyde for Allen Robinson?
Doable, but I thought you were going to go to the guy that I thought that Graham should consider trading,
and that's who you're going to say, Kenyon Drake.
I think Kenyon Drake's value is as high now as it ever will be.
Still go higher if the Dolphins go the next 2 months without adding another running back.
I don't think they're going to.
Well, it depends on when they take the next running back.
Yeah,
you know, if they sign Doug Martin in free agency, I'm not too worried about that. I'd be really excited about Drake. If they draft,
just pick a round. It doesn't matter.
The kid from Iowa. If they get him in the fifth round of the draft,
fifth round is nothing. It would have to be a top three round pick for me.
Sure.
If
they go and get Sony Michel to pair with Kenyon Drake, you're probably looking at what they envision as a timeshare situation.
Yeah.
Where they just mix and match him regardless of situation on the field.
Okay.
That would hurt. That would hurt Drake's value.
You could. All right. So we don't know what's going to happen, but maybe the best thing is to try to buy low on a wide receiver, like Dave said, maybe Allen Robinson.
The only other option I can think of is you try and pile Hyde, the first round pick and probably Dez, because I don't think you're going to get anything for any of the other guys. Maybe you throw in Didi too, just so that you're trading somebody in the Dynasty League, something that they can have, like, you know, a glimmer of hope long term with, all for one nice wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, Anthony.
But I would start with Allen Robinson for Carlos Hyde.
Anthony writes us with the subject line of S-C-H-O-E-N-C-H-E-N, which we tried to pronounce on the air.
Shinshin.
Well, yeah, he said, "Your pronunciation of my town has been some of the worst I've ever heard. Thanks for the laughs. We pronounce it Shinshin.
Yeah, I've learned.
I've also heard Shoenshin, but these people are wrong. The town came to be because they didn't like the church and how it was run, so they said, fine, we'll even build a better church. They moved about 5 miles away, and Shinshin was born." All right, there's your geography for the day.
That's good to know. Are you ever going to visit Shinshin, Wisconsin?
I don't think so. I've never been to Wisconsin. I've been to like 27 or so of the 50 states. I've never been to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's a cool place. Really nice people. Down-to-earth state. Cheese curds.
Here's Craig Walker. See, this one I did.
Not Greg Walker.
This one I think I read. I think I read this one. Pick a tight end for your dynasty team, Tyler Eifert, George Kittle, or Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I'd go young with Kittle.
Yeah, I think I read that one. This is from Mark, and I did not read this one. 10-team, 2-quarterback, 6-point per passing touchdown league, PPR. Start 2 quarterbacks, 2 running backs, 3 receivers, tight end, and a flex. So it's 2-quarterback league, it's 10 teams, it's 3 receivers, it's PPR, a lot here, and 6-point per passing touchdown. So quarterbacks are pretty valuable. Who do I keep from this list? We can keep a starting lineup. So 2 quarterbacks, Dave. Roethlisberger, Watson, Derek Carr.
Well, Watson for sure. And with the hope of getting lucky long term, I'd keep Carr over Roethlisberger.
2 running backs. Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Joe Mixon.
Gurley and Melvin. Man, this league's draft is going to suck.
3 receivers. Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, Jarvis Landry, or Amari Cooper?
I'm throwing back Cooper. I expect Landry to land with a squad that keeps him in a similar role to what he's been doing.
So then your flex is either going to be Cooper or Mixon, PPR.
Cooper.
Cooper.
I'm throwing Joe Mixon back. Maybe the draft won't suck so bad.
I don't know. I think I'd go Mixon.
And you'd throw Amari Cooper back?
Yeah.
In a full-point PPR where you can start 4 wide receivers, I'm keeping Cooper.
Yeah. All right, Dave. That is fair. Thank you for your emails, everybody. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. If I repeated the AFC South segment in any emails, I do apologize. I've been a mess. Rushed to get this show ready. And Dave carried the weight. So thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Adam. I hope you feel better. I hope smiles come your way soon. May your uncle's memory be for a blessing.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it, everybody. We will talk to you later in the week with episode number 2. Have a good one.
Be good. It's all right. I've got Levy.